We are the latest generation of hackers. We grew up playing video games. We were the ones who looked for all the hidden items and figured out cheat codes. We saw what computers could do and thought, I think we can do more. We heard of hackers from mass media and thought, I want to know exactly how to do what they do. Even as these hackers were made out to be criminals, we still wanted to learn. We eventually found out that hacking is not evil, which settled better with our morals. We're here to share and educate. We are BaseNet Radio.
This is Slicko, your host. With me today for episode 6 of BaseNet Radio are DMAD, Silent Slade, and Morbid.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
We have a few sections to this show: news, email if there's any, and distro of the week. While the sections we have could easily fill a show, we are always interested in ideas for other sections. If you have an idea, please send it over to basenet@slickzero.net. Any reproduction or retransmission of this material is encouraged. That's why this MP3 is available for download at our website, basenet.slickzero.net. And of course, that's Slick Zero spelt with the word slick and the number zero. And now it's time for our first section. That begins the news section of BaseNet Radio. In this section, we will be discussing news from this past week in the tech and computer industries, as well as any other news we find relevant to the general idea of hacking. Much of this we get from well-known sources like Slashdot, but we try to vary our sources. And the first story I just wanted to get out, because I felt like ranting on it when I saw it. It's Microsoft claims Linux security a myth. Okay, let's see about this. Microsoft bigwig Nick McGrath, I'm just reading from the Slashdot, the submission that they posted, and I'm just going to go almost sentence by sentence and go through this thing. Microsoft bigwig Nick McGrath claims that Linux security is highly exaggerated and that the open source development model is fundamentally flawed. I do agree with one thing in that statement. Linux security is highly exaggerated. That's true. But the open source development model is fundamentally flawed. How long have they, can anybody here tell me how long they've been developing Internet Explorer?
Too long.
And how long have they been developing, say, Firefox?
A lot less time.
Year?
Yeah, like it's been in beta a year. And then they released it 1.0 a couple months ago. But what? It doesn't make sense. I mean, you got a working, fully working product, better than IE, more secure at least. I mean, they do find security issues still, but of course a day later they're patched.
Which is nice.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
very
source
nice.
Source rules, yes.
Yeah.
Well, so it's a paid product.
There are purposes for closed source. Not many, but there are a few purposes. I'm not going to get into that now. I'm just going to continue on this.
Okay.
Okay, another statement he made. Who is accountable for the security of the Linux kernel? Does Red Hat, for example, take responsibility? It cannot, as it does not produce the Linux kernel. It produces one distribution of Linux.
Question?
Yes.
Does Microsoft take responsibility for the security issues in IE?
No. But it's interesting because he separates here the difference between kernel and distro. He knows that. Even though Red Hat does kind of like work on the coding for the Linux kernel, if you check out any of the changelogs on kernel.org, you'll see that there are
some of them
people.
Are
there are Red Hat techs. There are techs from all like huge Linux
some
supporters.
Some of them are like 13-year-olds in basements somewhere.
Yeah, it could be like anybody. Everyone. But like with a company like Red Hat that actually pays employees to do that, hey, for all means, go ahead. But even still, it's. Sure, it's not responsible, but it does, like, make it easier, and it does help with the coding of the kernel. Like I said with Firefox, like, a day later, there's going to be a patch for the kernel if there's a huge security flaw in it.
Right, because everyone's going to know about it, everyone's going to know where to look, and someone's going to know the answer.
Right. Anyway, he goes on to say that Linux is not ready for mission-critical computing. There are fundamental things missing, pointing out the lack of a development environment and no single sign-on system, giving reference to Microsoft's founding .NET Passport program. Interesting. Because couldn't all those things be made in user space? What the hell does that have to do with a kernel? I thought you already distinguished the difference between a distribution and a kernel. there's a huge difference.
He's trying to say there's no one to throw the blame at with an open source model. You can't just say, okay, Microsoft.
They can't just say Sun did it. They can't just say Red Hat did it. They can't just say,
because you can't blame it. It's all,
right.
It's all on you, right?
Right, but we could always blame Microsoft. I think he's just a little pissed.
Yeah, I think.
But I mean, seriously, it's a kernel. A kernel's a kernel. It's just an interface for any other applications to get through to the hardware of your machine. I mean, there's really no security issues to be worried about. It's the type of software that comes with the kernel. I mean, of course the kernel could have huge security issues because of all different reasons, but that's when you get real deep into it. But for the basic idea of it, that's not where the huge security holes exist in, say, Microsoft stuff.
Hey, I have a question. When was the last time Microsoft updated their kernel anyway?
I don't know. Haven't they been running kernel 32.dll for quite a long time?
Forever.
That's what I thought. Well, I mean, they probably updated it.
I mean, I updated.
They have revisions.
But that's it. It's different.
Okay. Anyway, let's get on to something else now.
Yeah,
I'm tapped out of this
what
one.
What do I got? Okay. Since we're talking about the Internet Explorer and Firefox and whatnot, I always like to talk about browsers, because what do I do besides search the Internet? we're talking about how Firefox is on its way to dethroning IE, but we also have to realize...
Possibly.
Knock on wood. But we also have to realize that they're the only ones going to talk, but there's been browsers before that doing it. I'm mainly going to talk about, just point out, Opera. There's an article in Wired News, Opera the Forgotten Browser. I mean, the browsers have been trying to do this for a while. Opera mainly one of them.
I remember Opera was big back then.
The interesting thing about Opera that you must point out is it's not a free program.
No.
They do have a free trial.
They have a free version with ads.
Yes, with ads.
And who?
I'm sure there's ways around
ads.
Wasn't the biggest thing about Opera that was the first browser to come with pop-up blocking?
Yeah,
I believe.
Eventually.
I never heard that. I'm not certain.
It did have pop-up blocking.
Yeah, it did.
I think it's the only browser that comes with native pop-up blocking at that point, at its period.
Really?
I don't think Mozilla back then, or Netscape, or...
At its time, it...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. That was the big thing about it back then.
Now, even IE has...
Yeah, I know. It's like, wow, they upgraded IE.
Yeah, I found that out.
But only XP versions of IE. If you were in 2000, you're fine.
Yeah, you just...
Yeah, and if you use Mac, well, you're still on IE 5.5, I believe.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
They haven't even tried, have they?
Nah, they don't care about Mac. Well, Max, well, I have another thing on that, actually. It's kind of funny. There's a artist, this British guy, Richard Bolam, who uses Mac classics for modern art, like old school Macs, to make art.
Now, Macs are Apples.
I think
because Macintosh is the operating system software. Apple is the computer, unless the article got
uses HyperCard to create... generative art using ancient Mac classics.
Oh, he uses the Mac classic to create the art.
I thought it was physically
taking computer hardware.
There was
a
guy who used to do that. He used to take Mac boxes and make sofas and things like that. But this is totally different. This is
kind of going back to older stuff and bringing it back to the mainstream.
Sort of like, the guy from Severed Heads who used to create all these great music videos on old Amigas.
Okay, give me a break. That's nothing. I use my Apple II to code a nice circle with lines through it. You know, that's all you need for art.
Apple II. I'm gonna bring
Apple IIc.
I'll bring you a DVD with the Severed Heads original videos from the 80s done on a Commodore Amiga, and you're gonna be blown away.
Interesting.
You'll see.
Yes. Two tabs closed. Two tabs closed.
Yeah, how many tabs do you have open?
at the begin, when I sat down, I had about 25 to 30 tabs open.
He didn't have tabs. He had icons. He had another toolbar.
A solid toolbar of just graphic.
Wow.
Yeah.
It wasn't even abbreviated letters, man. It was just...
It was the icon for the site. That's it.
It was the fave icon. That sucks. Okay.
Okay.
What else we got going on?
Another one. What we're trying to, what Slick here is trying to set up for the show eventually, Skype.
Yeah.
Skype. So we could have listeners or other guests actually Skype in.
Yeah, it seems like businesses are starting to pick up on it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says that, blah, blah. Since it's a lot of businesses are picking up, it's free VoIP and reduced long distance and cell phone costs. Just big, a bunch of businesses are picking up, starting to spread, which is kind of cool.
That's great. Yeah. What else is, what other info do you got on that?
Then that means I have to read the article. Okay. Over the past year and a half, Skype's popularity has exploded. Currently, there are over 23 million users signed up for the service, which allows no-cost phone calls over the Internet. According to the company, by 2008, the number expected to jump between 140 million and 245 million. As more business... says Market Blah Blah Blah, as more business customers start using the software, Skype subscriber numbers could grow even higher.
That's true. I remember, I think I read a similar article, maybe the same article, not sure, that mentioned that one company, I don't know, I think maybe Slick was the one telling me this, has a web directory where you can get the Skype usernames of their employees, as opposed to getting their phone number, so you can Skype in and call them, as opposed to just...
I remember somebody telling me that, I don't remember telling
Aruba
anybody.
Aruba has even placed a button on it. The company, Aruba Wireless, I believe, or something, has even placed a button on its homepage to allow prospective customers to contact the company via Skype.
There you go.
I guess it was you.
So it was him.
Yeah, that's what I meant by you. Morbid.
So that's, like I said, that's really cool. Slick introduced me to Skype last year, a couple months ago.
Yeah, I think I saw it on Slash that a while back. I was like, that sounds interesting. I think I told you, and now you're telling him. And
I've known about it for... maybe a year now. No, less than a year. When it came out, I remember it.
Yeah.
Forget one.
Yeah, so pretty much Skype's newfound business. Users say they're very interested to see what the company has to offer, but selling the service to those companies for a fee won't be a slam dunk. I don't see where they even came up with that. Skype for Business offering will address. Oh, so they might have a Skype for Business with extra features such as video conferencing, user grouping, and company directories that business customers might pay for.
I can't wait to see what Skype launches, a voice over IP service, sort of like Vonage, where they have like a phone and it's also an integrated instant messaging machine and everything. That would be awesome. Okay.
And so...
portable, like, all-in-one machine.
That'd be cool. As I say, we'll definitely check out a new offering when it comes out. Of course, we'll have to compare it to what others offer. Nothing really beats free. So I guess they're talking about the Skype for Business, but saying that normal Skype is being used and is being accepted.
That's awesome.
Thumbs up for it.
All right, what else we got going on? Skype is awesome. Let's see. I mean, considering Skype, I actually have a friend who it's almost impossible to reach with unless you use Skype. He's like forever wired.
Oh, that's
interesting.
Cool.
Wow.
And so if he's home, you have to Skype to him or else you won't know. He'll be on AIM.
No cell phone or whatnot?
He has his phone. He's just easier to contact on Skype.
That's pretty funny.
Wish that were me.
Okay, what else you got? What happened?
I just got a message from one of my fraternity brothers. It's funny. You guys will appreciate it. I caught some virus from a link on an away message, so don't click on any of my links on my way.
Go ahead and click on it. It's not like you're vulnerable on that box.
What are the chances of something actually infecting your box?
Yeah, a binary virus made for Windows.
If you caught something from the link that was in my away message, I am made for a thing to clean it out. I hope it works. I'll have to remember not to do it, to click on this name in my Windows box.
God, that sounds like that sounds like that Trojan horse that recently was wiping out all those lineage accounts, stealing passwords.
I've heard about this. I didn't really go into detail about it. What is
it? It sounds like there was some sort of Trojan that was infecting computers, mostly affecting the East Asia where the game is pretty big, and it was stealing accounts and giving them back to like a certain post so that they would have all these account names, go in and do whatever they want.
It kind of sounds similar to the Singular. Was it Singular? Or T-Mobile? The T-Mobile guy that hacked
T-Mobile,
it.
Similar, yeah. Except it was actually, you know, just emails being sent to people. That's just retarded, see?
Yeah.
You know, it mostly happened in Korea. You know how they're big on online gaming over there. It's really sad to see that stuff like that's happening. Especially with an online game. Like, people spend man hours and hours, like, just setting up their characters on those games.
Oh, do you remember, Kings of Chaos?
Yeah, a long time.
Oh, that was such a good game. They're, like, age 3 now. I actually just randomly, went to their site the, a couple weeks ago. Like, they updated it a bunch and, stuff like that. It's pretty funny.
God, I remember all those games.
Yeah. You guys got anything?
Yes, like, you got any news?
Any more news? No, I was just ranting about one thing.
Okay, your friend, you know, maybe he's hard to get a hold of because he has awful battery life. Uh-huh, how about that? What about what transition right there?
Awful battery life. Oh, yeah.
Wow. I think I have a couple solutions for him.
Oh, what do you got?
Well, this company, Batmax, developed the first cell phone battery life booster using the latest nanotechnology research. According to that, it works with all like the batteries you use for cell phones. It's a
all of them.
NICD, NIMH, lithium ion, lithium power,
the main big four
ones, and improves battery life. It's a Batmax foil slows down the loss of battery life. Blah blah blah. Nanoceramic material is kind of sketchy, in my opinion, though, because it's a small rectangular sticker which is installed on the mobile phone battery. Users just need to attach a Batmax to the battery or the cell phone. They claim users will notice a battery life improvement after 5 to 10 charging or cell phone. You know what? That is extremely similar to the antenna boosters, which you can buy like 50 for $5 on eBay.
How much does this thing cost, you think?
I'll check.
Let's increase your battery life by 100%. $25. How long does it take to get it actually see effect?
Oh, that's for the easy to use into 5 to 10 charges, they say you notice.
5 to 10 charges. Let me get the warranty.
Charge cycles.
Warranties void after 3?
Power when you need it. This is their site, if you want to check it out.
Read it out, batmax.com?
Batmax, BATMAX.com.
Oh, gotta check this out.
I'll put it in the... There you go.
In the room there.
It's in the room. And then, I guess, going along with that, something that actually sounds like it could really work, as opposed to the sticker thing.
Yeah, the sticker thing is kind of shady.
A new wireless chip reduces power consumption in mobile devices. Parker Vision Inc. of Jacksonville, Florida, this month announced a new line of efficient, high-performance, low-cost wireless chips.
Efficient, low-cost wireless chips?
High-performance.
High-performance.
Yes, it's a lot of...
So the whole purpose is just waste less electricity, thus saving you battery life.
The new design extends the company's patented digital radio frequency transceiver technology called D2D, direct-to-data, to power amplifiers, a device that boosts the power of RF signals so that they reach the intended destination of stuff. So it's pretty much worth claiming a 50 to 80% reduction in power consumption with the new D2D technology. Goes in a bit more detail, but if you want to, you can look for the article on eweek.com. It's new wireless chips reduce power consumption in mobile devices.
Wireless chips, huh?
Yes. Okay. It was on the 30th.
Alright, I'll check that out. You gonna put the link up too?
Yeah, I'll put the link up there.
Okay, let me kill this one out here. Don't need that anymore. Bye-bye, Batmax. I still look shady.
And also,
And they don't just do cell phones. They do laptops, Game Boy Advance.
Well, it seems like a stick where you could just kind of...
Anything that has a battery, that's kind of
that type of battery, yeah.
Hmm.
All right. Yeah.
Alright, did you hear about... This is probably something you wouldn't know. I get subscriptions to, like, crazy magazines. So, I have, like...
What kind of crazy magazines are these?
Everything from, like, Ewig, InfoWorld, to, like... What is this one right here? This is a request for
that
me
last
to join
thing
the,
I just said.
Microsoft SQL Server.
How's Ewig crazy? Ooh. That's where I got the last little thing from.
Yeah, I know. Crazy is in a bunch of crazy sources from different places. And I don't like Ewig, honestly.
I'm sorry.
Ziff Davis Media. This is, I don't know. There's something shady about them.
Hmm.
Anyway, I get this one called Wireless System Design. I have no clue who the hell produces it. It's really small. It's like once a month, maybe. They'll send one out. And it talks about, you know, the new wireless technologies coming out. and different chips and so on and so forth. But there's this interesting concept being worked on. It's a mesh network to try to smoothen out traffic. Now, check this out. They want to have satellites. I can even show you guys a little diagram here. Not on the radio, sorry, but for the guys in the studio. They want to have satellites communicating with traffic lights.
Oh,
the traffic lights would communicate with the closest car. So the local vehicle would send information back to the satellite.
To track the car?
To track the car, how fast it's going, did it stop at the light, so on and so forth. The car in itself would be wirelessly connected to a next car behind it, and it would relay back and forth to everyone else on the road.
So does
using
that mean,
like a using each traffic light as a type of Wi-Fi type deal?
Right. Each traffic light would be like the main node. Every car would be a relay to the next one. So
not anytime soon.
Not anytime soon.
Infrastructure systems like traffic lights and whatnot cost a lot.
The cars aren't
Most
ready.
Traffic lights still run on relays,
okay,
which totally rules out the possibility of the traffic light thing and hackers working.
I know.
But especially in 95.
The only way you can sell me on that would be if the link in the cars to the cars to the cars setup allowed you to talk to the cars you
were
linked with,
awesome.
So you can road rage them out.
I mean, like, check out the kind
of... Get in the slow lane if you're moving 20 in a 50, you fuck
right,
face.
Exactly. It would give you
exactly.
messages.
Exactly.
That would be really cool, but it's also very Big Brother scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah,
now,
obviously.
The stuff they want to send over there, they want to send information about what the speed limit is, like what the timing correction is, depending on, you know, how far off you are and signal correction. Like, what is your displacement on the X and Y, longitude, latitude? Your vehicle speed right now. The vehicle size plays importance.
So they can have weight in there as well?
Is your airbag deployed? So if you had an accident, they'll know.
Yeah, that's kind of a little infringement on privacy, don't you think?
And then the whole total of each little packet is going to be like 63 bits. Because for example, like, the vehicle size is 6 bits big. Is the airbag deployed, yes or no? It's only 1 bit. Speed limit, again, is 6 bits.
So what's that last bit going to be?
X and Y are 17 bits each. Because, you know, it's a lot of possibilities there. Timing correction is 20 bits, and they use the speed limit there as well. A total of 26. It's kind of weird.
So that actually shows exactly what they're thinking.
Yeah, they're really plotting this out. But
interesting.
And they even have a formula to correct the signal so that the satellites and the traffic lights are all on the same time.
Yeah, but would the thing by doing this, like, would it also make it so if there's, like, no one sitting at a red light, it would change the light so you could go?
Maybe. They can do things like that. If they notice that if it's a red light, you're the only one there, there's no traffic coming the other way, they might change the light green for you to go.
That'd be nice of them.
It would be. But see, the problem is integrating all the vehicles we have now. We have a lot of people who still have classic cars from like the 60s and 70s still out there. And they're not gonna just add.
Another thing is like, how many satellites would you need to do this?
How many traffic lights?
Exactly.
Would you how many cars do you have to update?
So I mean, it's very, very far down the line, I think.
Oh, amazingly far down.
Not our lifetime.
It's nice to see that people are considering the option. It's still Big Brother scary, though.
Yeah. And if that happens, it's time to move to one of those less technologically advanced countries like Mother Russia.
Or the sovereignty of Brunei, something like that. Anyway, well, that's just something cool I picked up. Not a lot of people are ever going to hear or know about it, so I might as well just bring it up now.
Yeah, that's really cool.
How it goes. All right, what else you got? Seriously, nothing else?
Has DMAT said anything tonight?
DMAT doesn't know.
I'm sorry, I'm falling asleep.
Okay, I do have more stuff. I just, satellites.
Wait, hold on. Where is DMAT? DMAT? Are you in the other room? Yeah, he was in the other room.
Okay, I was talking about the whole satellite thing. I don't know how much truth there is behind this, but XM and Sirius merger. Anyone
XM and Sirius?
Anyone know?
Are
about
you
this?
Serious? Yes, pun intended, and I know it was corny.
There is not much information on this at all. There's about a decent sized discussion about it. It's from Fox News, so.
Yay.
Well, it seems. Sirius and XM are in talks again, but And, sorry, Fox News is that they're in merger discussions and want to expand their reach into all communications from space. This includes cell,
space, wow,
music, and TV. The person who wrote this would love to see it take place. Give DirecTV and Dish Network a little competition. No.
What? I don't want to see more competition.
I wouldn't want to see
less competition.
Then it kind of makes no competition whatsoever in
right.
the satellite radio.
Right, there's
industry.
Absolutely no one there.
I mean, if they move in to TV, they'll cause more competition for them, but that's only one.
But we already have Verizon moving into TV.
Really?
Yeah.
Verizon's you haven't heard about that? Verizon is partnering with Microsoft to get into the whole TV thing. They're going to be using Microsoft's technology to send video over their fiber optic lines. Kind of compete with the cable networks.
Right.
Doesn't anyone know of sticking to their own industry anymore?
Please, the cable companies are launching phone services now.
No, you see, nowadays it's the technology industry. If you have a piece of wire, that's technology. At least to all the idiots.
Can we go back to the day where no one actually owned their own phones, they rented them from the phone company, and the phone company was...
We are slowly heading back that way.
Yeah, I know.
All the baby bells are merging back into a big Ma Bell.
Verizon Bell.
One more tab closed. Okay.
Two more big pieces for it to fall, like Bell South and like the other one, Bell Pacific.
SBC? Anybody?
There's South. There's actually there's a bunch of bells left. Actually.
Are they? How
like,
many?
Around the country. Like if you there's like a handful of them. Five.
Yeah, but how many of them are really big?
No, they're all baby bells. There's no. The only one bell that's left is the company AT&T. And they're about to be bought out
by
SBC, for
like
$16 billion.
Right. Did you see that article?
Caught a little...
I don't like the source that I found it from. It's MSN. I can post it in the forum so you guys...
I could get a... I think I have another source somewhere.
There's another source, but I found it on MSNBC first, so I figured I'd just stick with that, the first one I saw it on. And it looks like it's $16 billion.
I wish
it's a
I had
lot
that.
Of money to buy AT&T.
I wish I had that to throw around.
Seriously.
And you know the thing that kills me? They make these big, huge purchases. They buy a company, and the first thing they do, they all lay off like 500,000 people. But AT&T's so big, that layoff will probably be like 3-4 million people. I mean, think about it.
It sounds like the music will kind of hit your theme soon.
Yeah, I know. It's like getting darker and bleaker as I speak. But anyway, AT&T is like one of the biggest companies in this country. Next to Microsoft. Who doesn't know about AT&T?
You want to know the biggest company in this country?
What?
Walmart. Biggest company in the world.
Yeah. Walmart. Well, God. If Walmart were ever bought out by like Kmart or something,
it wouldn't.
That would be a badass fucking layoff.
Wow. Well, no, because they would probably keep each other's stores unless they're right next to each other.
Well, let's thank Walmart for
more
plugs.
What was that?
Let's thank Walmart, though, for more plugs.
Oh, no, let's thank the electrician that has been supposedly doing this place since last year to wire
really?
This place.
I haven't seen any work done in months.
Work?
Work? Good point.
I'm not going to say
anything.
Okay. I'm sorry, go on.
A bitterness on Slick's part?
No, because supposedly an electrician was supposed to come and wire quite a few plugs into, like, the walls of this room, let alone just a strip running to the other room.
Far, manually done.
No, not a stripper, a strip.
A stripper's
power
running in and out of the room.
You know,
holding an electric
surge protector.
The D-Dad's two words, yay, stripper.
You guys will have to forgive me, I came from work straight down here.
Yeah. That's true.
Have
you
I'm drinking beer.
Have some more beer.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Wait, can we drink to that? Can we drink to work?
I finished mine. Whoa.
All right, go get some more. Yeah, that's like the ghettoest cooler ever.
Yeah, we filled the cooler with actual snow, and
who needs ice?
Like a what? It was like a 6-pack.
12.
Well, 12 pack.
Like 8 of them are in there.
Hey, man, we took them quick.
Anyone more?
It's like you're driving after this, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Cool.
So just one for you.
What?
Yes.
Another one?
Yes, please. I'm going to get wasted. I'm going to sleep, and I'm not working tomorrow, so it's good. This is in no way tech related, so we will move.
Yes.
I can't even. I slur my. Anyway.
Drink your beer.
You didn't. You only had one so far, and you're slurring already, man.
Someone
you must
get this
tired.
Guy some.
It's not even that, dude. I'm just tired.
Oh, that's what Rome was last week.
I love the slave labor. Oh no, I was kidding. No slave
labor. Okay, slave labor, India. Well,
what?
Okay.
Slave labor, India. What?
Slave labor. Slave labor. That reminds me of India.
AT&T. Although,
yeah.
What are you talking about?
I got it links me to Asia Times Online for South bridging India's digital divide with Linux. I don't want to read this one, so I'll go to the shorter, condensed version of it. From Slashdot, provides a pointer story about India's increasing use of Linux and mention a Battlefield PDA run in Linux, making Linux the standard OS for students.
Okay, nice.
And some more about the Simputer. I don't know what the Simputer is, anyone?
Simputer.
Maybe I'll actually have to read the article.
It sounds like
RTFA, damn it, RTFA.
It sounds like something like, you know, created by that Ryan Radio dude, the Simputer.
That's the Reputer.
The Institute first conceived of what it called the Simputer, a cheap personal computer for Indian users, 3 years ago. The irony is that. Though,
what does that mean exactly?
Though Indian software companies provide solutions for bigwigs such as Microsoft, most people in this country cannot afford to buy licensed software products.
Got it.
Why did I raise my volume on the word products? Like several other developing countries, India depends overwhelmingly on a flourishing cottage industry in assembling personal computers and pirated software. Software, institutional, blah, blah, blah. So pretty much they're too poor to afford Microsoft, so open source Linux is...
Here we go.
...is awesome for them.
This is the Simputer. This thing looks pretty fucking sweet, actually.
Really?
It looks like a PDA on crack.
That really looks cool. Send the link over. Send the link over.
Yeah, let me send the link over on the thing. If anyone wants to check it out, try AmidaSimputer.com or just run a Google search for Simputer. Should be like the third link down. Yeah.
Oh, I like this. Professor
on our website.
Professor, I'm making that up. There are many misconceptions about Linux. It is much easier to install and use than many people realize, said Professor Edwin Wells, an active member of the Delphi Linux Users Group who participates in help, blah, blah, blah. The best introduction to Linux is to use a bootable Linux distro available on a single compact disk, from which Linux can be run directly without a hard disk. There is nothing like that in Windows.
Sorry, I found that a little funny.
Yeah, that is.
Really?
Okay.
Where was this article quoted from?
This was quoted from Professor Edwin Wells, an active member of Delphi Linux Users Group. Maybe we
Does he have an email?
I'm looking for that. I'm going to do a search on that right now.
All right, great.
Go to someone else right now. Drink to that.
Yeah.
Woo!
Clink.
I can't clink.
Sure you can.
I'm the Dez. I can't.
Yeah.
The DD.
Yep.
Okay. DD. Well, you guys talk about something. Well, I guess. I don't know. I'll find out about that guy because that's pretty funny.
Well, kind of cool that it's like students are being forced to use Linux over there. Simply because
that's not good being forced to use anything.
It's not cool that they're being forced, but it's kind of cool that they're getting the option to try something that's. You know.
It's not an option to try something new because then they don't have the option to mess with Windows.
They can
sure
afford
they can.
To mess with Windows.
I honestly think, and
Windows
yes, 95. This is DMAT somewhat awake. I believe that what they're trying to do is like really missing the point of Linux. They might be using a graphical interface, which is most likely KDE. Mm-hmm. So they're pretty much missing the whole point of Linux.
Well, here's the thing. The point of Linux was just to create an alternate Unix that runs on a 386 architecture.
Well, yeah, but...
That is the entire point. Linus just ran with it.
Right.
I
don't think anybody truly knows where Linux is heading or where...
I agree, but you might as well... You might as well, I don't know, make Windows open source. That's going to happen.
Good luck with that.
You know, fix all the bugs and just continue using it. Because KDE... Huh?
Wow.
I know.
At this point, that's hard.
Yeah.
That's years of backlog.
Oh, never mind. I haven't found
it. But yeah, I mean, I would learn Linux just for Linux itself, just to actually learn something. I think Linux is there to be learned, not, you know.
Yeah, but what I think what's nice is the fact that they're making Linux the standard, which because it's not a wealthy country.
Exactly.
So
that's true.
They're making it because it's the standard. They'll be able to have it available to them and use it.
And they'll never have to worry about payment. Yeah. They'll never have to worry about licensing. They'll never have to worry about, okay, what happens if my computer breaks down? I have to buy a whole new version because, you know, Microsoft wants me to only register it on one computer once.
So to get a security update and whatnot.
Exactly. There's a lot of things that the security, the proprietary model Microsoft's running on, just doesn't work for, like, their world country.
Yeah,
agreed.
At all.
Not that India is
But the thing is, a lot of people in India are really poor.
In case anyone in India is listening right now.
They have one of the highest populations in the world.
Next to China.
Next to China. One of the highest.
Well, if anybody's, like, technically inclined, I'll try to give them, like, push them, hey, try Linux, try it or whatever. But if they're just a standard user, like, one mouse button Mac people, and, like, really not get in anywhere besides, like, okay, I know how to click the X to close a program, I know how to browse the web to Google stuff, and that's it, they don't care to learn anymore.
If they know Google.
I'm going to keep them with what they're already using, you know?
Well, see,
a lot of Linux users are really like, oh, use Linux, it's the best thing in the world. You know, it's...
Another great thing, sorry.
Well, I mean, the cool thing is, since they're running Linux, it's open source, if they ever get interested, like, they want to learn more, they can.
Yes.
They don't have to they don't have to break wall with a Microsoft system.
That's what I hit when I switched to Linux.
Right. So now
there's nothing to do.
You know how everything is being outsourced to India? You have every time you call for tech support or something, you're sent to India.
Shipping all over India.
Look 10 years down the line, 20 years down the line, when we have the younger generation who's messed with Linux already, some of them have actually delved into it. Now we have knowledgeable people giving us tech support.
More or less.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Of course, by then it'll be outsourced to, like, Uganda. But
$300. Not bad.
Wishful thinking.
$300.
$300.
The starting model.
For the Amiga thing?
The Amiga thing.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's over India.
Yeah. Well, how much is that in American?
Oh, well, no, it's $300.
Oh, it's God, that's starting, harsh for them.
It's starting RS something 12, 4,500. But if this is supposed to be a whole PC...
It's true. It's a small little...
It's like a Palm PC, but it has a NIC, right? It has a...
It has everything you need to really hook up.
Yeah. Everything, good stuff. Handwriting or email in your own handwriting or voice. Mm-hmm. MP3 player.
Okay.
Flip-flop senses your gestures.
Really?
That's what it says. I don't know. I hear clicking.
Wow.
Yeah, we're just...
okay. Amiga's world's first and only computer that responds to your gestures. You can turn the page of an e-book with a flick of your wrist.
Nice. It looks like a hand gesture where you're actually turning the page.
I don't know. I'm just doing that.
Like, doing this will actually turn the page on the e-book. Nice.
I guess.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah, and for those who can't see... So it actually demonstrated the way you turn a page.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That is the most retarded thing to ever do on the radio.
Okay.
Turn a page. Look at what I'm doing. See?
Turn back on. Sorry. Moving on.
Yeah, why can't you see me?
Well, since that's a kind of cool little handheld PC thing, remember when Microsoft decided it'd be a smart thing to come out with a tablet PC?
Oh, God.
Actually, one of my specialist doctors had one. This is pretty cool, but they seem to have a nice little issue here. A nice bug in the tablet PC version of Windows. Eats up all the memory in your computer until it crashes.
Yay.
Woo.
Is it like a
Windows 3.1 hack?
Is it like the blue tablet of death now?
That's good.
Well, I mean, they tell you what's the problem. It's tabtip.exe. But it's kind of an important...
Function.
It's quite an important application. It's It's the built-in ink digitizer response for handwriting recognition.
Ouch.
So without it, you...
I mean, it's not a tablet if you don't write on it.
Well,
so.
there's ways around it. You can either buy and install a third-party recognition software...
Or reboot every 3 minutes.
Or plug in a keyboard. Ooh. Yeah, but that kind of defeats the whole
purpose of the whole thing. Right?
Yeah.
So you have to either install like a Palm OS-style thing or... Oh, man, that limits your options.
It says, this isn't new. Users first discovered it last spring and even patched together a crude batch file which killed and restarted the ink process, but it's still causing problems.
That's a good workaround, but it's kind of sucky that you have to do it.
Yeah. Now, with an open-source model, how long would that have taken to fix a bug like that?
37 seconds.
No.
Like 3 days. 3 days you would have had a working fix.
42.
Somewhat, well... 3 days, you would have had a quick hack fix.
A working fix,
with
right.
It, within a week,
you'd have... It would have been part of the next distribution.
42.
Yeah,
right.
Seriously.
Oh, man. See, that's why open source, closed source have such problems. Although, since it's a tablet, not as many people would be working on it, so I would double that time, maybe triple it.
Yeah.
I'd say a month, you probably have it working. What the hell was that? Anyway.
I don't know.
That was the song. Go for it.
Anymore. Stuff.
We got a lot of weird stuff going
news
on.
News guy Slade.
Well, I have something here physically because I accidentally.
A piece of paper. Look at that.
Look at this. It's paper, right?
Can you turn a page?
And there's ink on it.
What is it? What's the term? Old school?
Old school, yes.
How do you turn a page now?
Teach me.
Oh, good.
Anyway.
For those who can't see, Slade demonstrated how to turn a page.
Again.
And failed at it.
Again.
Anyway, remember Novell?
Yes.
Remember how they bought out Zeus and they were working on a new version of Netware?
I'm sorry. Wait. I'm sorry. I have to stop this whole thing. That was the biggest freaking mistake Susie ever made.
What?
Is let Novell buy them.
Hmm.
Okay, continue.
Okay, but how many companies you know run Netware? Novell's,
One project. That I know of.
One that you know of. Now, did you know the new version of Netware is supposedly going to be released next month?
Really?
Based
Guess
on
where?
Linux?
It's going to be at the Boston Open Enterprise Server, It's at the Linux World Conference in Boston.
Oh, Jesus.
Stupid
The
Boston.
Next version of Netware
Boston.
Is actually... The next version of Netware
Boston.
Runs on Linux.
Boston.
Interesting.
Not only does it run on Linux...
We're getting drunk.
But from the beta testers that they used, according to this article, it triples the response time of Netware.
I could see that happening. Netware uses IPX, right?
Right. Okay. Does use IPX. So, running it on Linux... They have like a whole little open source thing going on here with it, except for, of course, the Netware itself. It's going to run an operating system on Linux, and it's going to have a kernel for Linux, a kernel for the Netware. And you can choose what applications run under which kernel.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Built-in Samba support automatically so that you can integrate with your old network with the Windows. A bunch of other cool stuff. And everyone's making fun of me on the...
No, actually... I'm making fun of
holy
that.
Holy crap. All right, anyway. So that's pretty cool. Check it out next month. If anyone's going to be up there, keep an eye on it. It's interesting to see one of the big Windows-only companies moving over Linux now.
Okay.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Okay.
What else is going on?
I'm trying to listen, but then these people start cracking up.
Okay.
In the middle of your article, because they're talking in a chat room.
I know.
I'm reading their stuff. I'm kind of just like, okay. They're making fun of
the old
certain accents. Yes.
It's true. It's all true.
Okay. What direction were we going in?
I don't know. Just pick an article.
Pick an article. 1 through 5. Pick a number.
Pick an article and forget what you were thinking 5 minutes ago when you were just cracking up.
1 through 5. Pick a number.
7.
1 through 5. Pick a number.
Damn. Almost half.
1,024.
3.
3. Okay. Okay, RFID-equipped robots used as guide dogs.
Oh, God.
This is a funny article. Well, I'm not going to read the rest of the importance of the article, except they're trying to use robots as guide dogs instead for people's disabilities. Here's the funny part. The story, which was more focused on the professor than robotics, carries several anecdotes, such as an embarrassing voice recognition system. After a blind man cleared his throat, the robot misinterpreted the sound as a sign that the man wanted to go to the bathroom. Later, every time a man cleared his throat before speaking, the robot changed directions and insisted to guide him to the restrooms.
Really? Oh, what?
That's retarded.
Yeah. So that's they want to try to use these things to help blind people go through like supermarkets and whatnot. But why blind people are and Walmart? I bet you.
But if a robot goes to Walmart and it signals the robot to bring him to the bathroom, will it bring him to the Walmart bathroom or all the way back to his house to his bathroom?
That's a
it. Looks
question.
It looks
looks around for a bathroom.
It actually looks for the little handicap thingy for restrooms.
Interesting.
They want to design our...
What happens if it gets confused and takes you to the women's bathroom if you're a guy? You know, like, it's not very intelligent. Obviously, exactly.
I was reading something similar to this. It wasn't the same one, but the same where they're trying to have the robots learn recognition of different things.
That's interesting. I mean, it's cool seeing stuff like that happening. Although, it's scary when your robot's so retarded it every time you cough, it takes it to... Okay, hold on. Let's go take a leak.
Let's take you to the bathroom, which is across the street with all the traffic. Okay, that's just kind of a funny thing I picked up on during the week.
So what happens if someone else coughs?
No, that's what it said. Every time a man...
Any man coughs.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
It said, because the guy he cleared his throat. Later, every time a man cleared his throat before speaking, the robot changed direction and insisted to guide him to the restroom.
Wow.
So, here's a question. If we see these things walking around in the future, we can just go up to them, make certain sounds, and fuck with blind people.
That's no, nice.
Robot, not only blind people, right. So all other disabilities.
Because true, but I mean, guide dogs are smart. They know who their owner is. They won't listen to anyone else.
Yeah.
It might take a couple of treats and stuff, but guide robots, however, are utterly retarded. They won't recognize their owner very well and will do all sorts of great things. It's so wrong, but it's true. I mean, it doesn't help out a lot. Anyway. So much for the blind robots.
Okay. I accidentally closed something. Oh, damn.
Hopefully it wasn't that Firefox with all those tabs.
No, I'm supposed to be down to 4 tabs, but now I'm down to 3.
Busters.
Damn. Anyway.
Anything? I have more? You have more?
I have a couple things. Let's see. Remember the thing we were talking about before with the cars?
Yes.
Which one?
Someone came...
Satellites.
A couple students...
Oh, yes.
A couple of students came up with an idea to break into one of those new car security features.
Oh, the RFID keys.
Right. I think they're Texas Instrument keys. And the purpose of the key was, you know, if your key is close to the ignition in your car, it'll let you start up. But there's a way to capture the signals on RFID by having another device with you, sort of like the size of a Palm Pilot, maybe an iPod.
It's kind of like how they would steal the signal for the garage door opener.
Similar, yeah. Except this is RFID, so what they do is they send a request to the key as if it's the car engine, saying, send me your key. Do a back and forth handshake. Then they just copy all the signals that the key sent to you. Then you can use the same thing onto the car. It's a total waste of billions of dollars worth of research. Honestly.
Yeah, it's found not that secure, so...
It's totally easy to do. I think that's kind of retarded. Kind of reminds me of the Mercedes-Benz key with the infrared, where you can use a universal remote to just program and capture.
Yeah.
And then you can just open up your neighbor's car with your TV remote. Anyway. Anyway, how much time we got left?
I think we have to get rid of this whole chat room deal when we're doing the show.
Seriously.
This is not good.
Okay. I have another thing here. AOL drops Usenet access.
Usenet?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a big one on Slashdot.
Yeah, that happened on the 28th. Well, so, the article said it.
You read that? Me too.
Wow.
Wow.
That seemed to be...
I missed that one, so that's kind of mad.
Discontinued in early 2005.
People on Slash dot, or I was reading through the comments, and they were all saying, oh, it's so good, we won't see Me Too anymore from, what did they call it, the September That Never Ends, or whatever.
Gotcha.
And, but I'm wondering, okay, so you still got those people on Slash dot. When are we going to ever see the end of something such as I, for one, welcome our new dot 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 overlords? Seriously, every post you see on Slash dot has at least one person saying that.
Yeah, I know.
And all of these little, like, I guess, inside Slash dot jokes.
I guess I'll have to check the Slash dot forums.
Comments? The comments underneath the article?
Yeah, the comments underneath the article, man. Some crazy shit happens in there.
Remember, to get to the comments after the article, you have to...
scroll down.
Read the article.
Some comments are quite interesting.
It's usually a paragraph long for the article on Slash dot. Come on, man. It's not that serious.
Okay.
Okay.
Another one going back to Microsoft here. Microsoft anti-piracy program raises security fears.
Microsoft is a security fear.
Anyway. Microsoft's new policy of limiting Windows updates to users who have authenticated their copies of its software may create new problems because unauthorized...
Because there's a lot of unauthorized usage?
Wait, that makes no... Okay, never mind. I was
the
reading that wrong.
The sentence is not making from you.
I was reading it wrong.
All your base...
The way I was reading it, they were limiting the copies to the people who had the authentic...
Right.
Windows, but it's, yeah, limited to just them.
Okay,
yeah, it's just...
Yeah, it's retarded. You have to have the newest version of Windows, the newest updated, what is it?
Wouldn't that just help the switch to Linux,
but
though?
But then, I think it was on Stank's show last week, he talked about how he circumvented that whole spyware download by copying the link and pasting it to an email and sending it to other people and they can download it, too.
Oh, their malicious file thing?
Their malicious... Do you
know what I did?
What?
I set XP to automatically down, like the automatic update thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just have that ready and it will get it for you.
Is it an official XP?
No. oops. Yes, of course it was.
Okay, let's go then.
That's even sadder.
I haven't paid for software in a long, long time. Except for Denname. I buy Denname. $5 a year. So you can update.
Really?
Me. $5 and then
this
you
is
have
game, dude.
I don't like gaming as much.
Denname's cool.
$5 and you have a year's worth of updates. Or if you happen to redo your system, you just put in your username and you can update it again.
Alright, well, anyway, it's about time to change to a different thing.
Alright.
I guess we shall go on to the email then. No email. And it's time for the distro of the week. The distro of the week is nothing more than a report on a distro that was used by one or more of us throughout the week. Remember, we are not limited to Linux distributions. By distro, I mean anything from a small homemade OS and a few utilities on a floppy to some huge 3DVD set of Linux, KDE, and every possible application that can be built to run on it. Also know that by being the distro of the week doesn't mean it's a good distro. It all depends on how the week went using it. If you have a distro you would like a report done on, just drop a line to basenet@slickzero.net. And the ultimate boot CD for Windows, or UBCD for Win, is the distro of the week this week. What it is a bootable distribution of, guess what? Windows! Mm-hmm. It uses BARPE to build, which you will have to do yourself for obvious legal reasons, being, of course, they can't distribute an ISO with, like, copyrighted Microsoft stuff on it.
They can tell you how to do it.
They could tell you how to do it with of course, your legal copy of XP and service packs and whatnot, even though I ordered a service pack recently.
Under Linus.
Yeah, under the name Linus Torvalds. It was just kind of funny getting mail from Microsoft under the name Linus Torvalds.
And the fact that they actually sent it when I was checking.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, with the building, it's a pain, or more so if you don't have an XP CD with SP1 or SP2 slipstreamed onto it. But in my opinion, is well worth it. Well, at least if you have to deal with Windows machines. It's meant for spy/adware removal, virus removal, basic net access, file access on a box that won't boot, etc., etc. I've only used it for the ad spyware removal and virus removal so far, and it seems quite nice.
Okay.
If you have an XP CD with SP1 or 2 and an install of Windows, and you have to deal with Windows machines, this is a great tool to have, actually. I'm looking forward to using this more, and shouts to One-Eyed Elf for recommended this distro of the week.
All right, so let's see. You mentioned it has pretty much software built in for anti-spyware and stuff. Does it have backup software, like a CD burning tool or anything else?
Yes, it does have a CD burning tool. I believe it was called Small CD or something of the like.
So it's like a freeware open source kind of thing? Or
It seemed to be a free CD recorder. Actually, I used it to burn some of the ISOs itself when I was building it.
Oh, okay. There you go. What else did it come with that you found interesting?
Well, as I said, I only used the spyware, adware thing. It did have a web browser, a small web browser. I forget the name offhand, though. What was that?
Another alternative to, like, Microsoft IE, because that's a... I mean, if you're trying to clean out spyware, you don't want to open IE, so...
Right, yeah, exactly. No, it's definitely an alternate to IE. It's not Firefox, but it's another alternate. I know it's not Firefox.
They're trying to be minimalist on it.
It appears to be most of the programs are minimalist. They don't even use Windows Explorer for opening up or file management. They use... I think it was GeoShell or something along those lines. Was the start menu and whatnot.
Is it like Midnight Commander, like text-based only, or is it like graphical?
No, it's graphical. It's got the basic start button and toolbar and whatnot.
It has some shit going on, alright. That's interesting. So it has its own window manager, it has its own file browser, its own... Oh, that's kind of nice.
Yeah, I found it to be actually, like I said, very useful, because I was actually working on a box.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to, instead of waiting for other people to get this done,
right,
I'm going to actually throw this together myself and see how useful it is.
Yeah, I was going to do it, but I don't have an XP machine, because I don't like XP.
Yeah.
So
you don't need an XP machine, you just need the CD.
I'm
pretty sure. I used XP to build it on, but...
I don't have any of the XP stuff. My neighbor
okay.
does. But due to work schedules being conflicting, it's impossible to get it from him.
Okay.
In any case... another question I have, is it stable enough for you to be able to use it as a Windows replacement when you need to run Windows?
Depends how often you would need to run Windows. If you need to use it on a daily basis, no. Probably, it's stable enough.
Stable enough? No.
But as far as...
That's a daily basis thing. Like, if you ever want to run just a quick application, it can only be used on Windows.
Yeah. I guess it should be fine as long as you'd be... able to download it there. It sets itself up in a RAM disk.
Okay.
So you may be able to take the CD out. I haven't tried this.
That's interesting. And it comes with internet support, network support, and everything. Auto detects all your hardware and everything.
Yep.
Nice.
It detects everything. You have to set up the NIC yourself if you want to.
Okay.
It provides it as an option, not a requirement to set up your NIC.
Okay, that's
so,
cool.
That's good. Anyway, it's does anybody else have anything else to say for this episode?
No, that's about it.
Any shouts?
Not really.
Well, then I guess that concludes this week's BaseNet Radio. I hope you have enjoyed this show. If you have any questions, comments, or flames, send us an email at basenet@slickzero.net. Again, spelled SLICK0, the number 0. And up next is Binary Revolution Radio. Have a good week.